Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. They say that there's only three types of people in the world. Those who are caregivers, those who will become caregivers, and those who will someday need a caregiver. I'm talking mothers of special needs and very young children, family members caring for elderly parents, spouses, siblings, or friends caring for disabilities such as Alzheimer's, dementia, cancer, stroke, heart disease, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, AIDS, autoimmune diseases, and a host of others. I can go on and on. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani. Hey, from Los Angeles to Big LA, welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous Blog Talk Radio and YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher. And we're on a lot of platforms. Yes, folks, I'm the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving, and we're going to do our very best to help you avoid that thing called caregiver burnout. And it is a nasty thing. Trust me, I know from experience, and I suspect that you know from experience as well. And we have an exciting, all our shows are so exciting. This show is especially exciting because my lovely co-host, Adrian Gruberg. I'm sorry, Adrian. Sometimes things come out of my mouth. I don't want to. Adrian Gruberg, founder of the Caregiver Space. And my gosh, she has so many people following her. When I grew up, I want to be just like her. It's like 160,000. I don't know. Anyway, we will be interviewing today Sherry White, registered nurse with the University of Arkansas for Medical Science. And for those of you who are wondering, that's pronounced UAMS because everybody likes acronyms. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And if you're new to the show, we have many new listeners every week, especially since we've gone video. I am your host, Dave Nassani, and this show is caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregiving and caregivers is that they're very caring. You know, they're very selfless. They're very sacrificial. And, oh, yeah, they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. Gosh, imagine that. You know, like the airlines tell us, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your loved one with their mask. And the airlines know this so very well because if you don't put your needs above your loved one's needs on an airplane in an emergency, you'll most likely black out and you won't be of any good to anybody with anything. Well, caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, we also talk about grief and loss here and the devastating effects it has on us. It throws us into this thing, another thing called the grief process. Ouch. And unfortunately, folks, I wish there was a way, but there's no way out of the grief process. You got to go through it. Can't go over it, under it. No cheating the grief process. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like, you know, you're stuck. Hey, I want to take this time now to thank my last week's guest, Dr. TK, also known as Takesha Jackson. And Adrian, you missed that show. I recommend
yes, I
you go listen to it. They're all our shows are recorded podcasts on our website, caregivers with an S, caregiver.com. Caregiverscaregiver.com, because I am the caregiver's caregiver. Got it? Now, while you're there, we have a quiz. It's called, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? Take that quiz, and I will send you my $10 value book free. It's called One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Just for doing that and taking the quiz, I'm going to do that. What a nice guy I am. Yes. All right. Enough of that. Sherry, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for agreeing to this interview just on such a short notice. I really appreciate it. Why don't you take a minute or two and introduce yourself? Just tell us, who is Sherry Lynn White? Are you there?
Mic's off, I think.
Oh, she muted herself, I bet you.
I muted myself. There we go.
I do that all the time, don't I, Adrian?
So do I.
Yeah, so if you see my lips moving, say, hey. Okay.
Right. Well, thank you, Dave. Thank you again for the invitation to come on and talk with you. And so nice meeting you. And Adrian, nice meeting you, too. Let me just start. Let me start by saying that I'm a nurse. I've been in geriatrics now for close to 20 years. But I'm also was a caregiver. So if that is helpful to get some perspective about my knowledge base, where I come from. Care for both of my parents, who are both now deceased, worked in long-term care and institutional care, home care, adult daycare, and now for the university, and was
a
co-author. Yeah, I've kind of run the spectrum, so yeah, so now I'm actually focused on helping other caregivers, right, through education. And
seems like the next phase.
Yeah, we have a wonderful program at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences called the Schmieding Home Caregiver Training Program. And it started from Mr. Schmieding, who was caring for his two brothers in the home. And he wanted to keep them in the home and out of a long-term care institution, and the university talked to him about how to give back to the community, and he said there needs to be a caregiver program. So we started the Schmieding Center back in 2001 in Northwest Arkansas, and started teaching the curriculum in 2002, and we were teaching it up until 2008, and then we were visited by the Donald W. Reynolds Foundation. You may have heard of them. And they said, this is a great program. Why aren't you guys teaching this in other places? And we said, well, you know, we only have so much funding. And they said, well, we're going to fund you. And so they funded us to replicate the program throughout the state of Arkansas. So now we have 7 centers where people can come and actually take classes and learn the skills of being a caregiver, both physical skills and then also some of the information and helpful tips and tools on caring for somebody who maybe has memory loss or dementia. And it's very hands-on. It's very role. We do a lot of role play. We do a lot of engagement with the learner. It's very hands-on, so I just want to share a little bit about that program, and I'm happy to, you know, field some questions and give some advice, and I'm here to help in any way I can.
Great.
Yes. So, yeah, start out. Tell us about this family caregiver workshop thing that is getting so much excitement.
Yeah. So, you know, we started out and we were doing caregiver training and developed the curriculum to train paid caregivers. Mm-hmm. And while that was very needed, we also recognized that the family caregiver really needed that education too, because even if they weren't providing the hands-on skills every day, maybe they were hiring these caregivers, they still needed the information so they could supervise the person and they could advocate for their loved one and they could monitor whether or not the care was being done correctly. Mm. You know, even if they weren't cared for in the home, maybe they had a transition to a nursing home. So, you know, we wanted them to be educated advocates, you know, to be able to say, hey, my mom needs a turn schedule, or hey, you know, I don't think that walker's working just right. Maybe we could try something different so that they could be vocal. And so many years I sat in these care plan meetings where the family really just sits there and listens to what the health professionals say should be done, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't really have a voice. They don't really know nobody has educated them on how to advocate or what's best. So we're all about caregiver empowerment. So we know if we educate that family caregiver, that they can then engage and they can be part of the discussion and they can say, hey, I want to try something different, or this isn't working, or maybe we need a swivel disc cushion, or maybe
one
we
arm,
need
one
a,
leg,
you know, some different piece of equipment or something that they found out about. So that's kind of the perspective that got us started on caregiver workshops. So we do two workshops. One is really more focused on physical skills, so hands-on. And, you know, you might think that, oh, well, you know, this is simple stuff. This is things people already know, but it's really not, especially if you have, like in your case, Dave, where you're caring for your wife, you probably knew nothing about proper wiping, right? And so, yeah, just directional wiping about, you know, wiping from front to back when you're helping someone with pericare. And or, you know, hey, should I use soap and water, or what's this cleanser that I see here? Should I use a cleanser? What's the difference between using a cleanser and soap and water? What's the difference between using peri wipes and a washcloth and soap and water? So these are the kind of questions that we encourage in the workshops. They're very hands-on. And then we take family members through these topics, like incontinence, that are difficult to talk about, right? That are
sensitive. Yeah.
And so kind of given that we have a workbook, so in everyone that comes to the class gets a workbook. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yep. Care okay. of the person with dementia. Yeah, these are things that you don't find out until you're already, like, in there, and you say, oh, my God, you know, and it's 3 a.m, and there's no one to call.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's why we've really been working hard to advocate, and we reach out to churches, and we talk to people who are healthy aging. They're healthy aging.
That's a good idea.
So that's good.
Just like you would take, right, just like you would take a driver's safety program, you need to take a caregiver class. Because then you're empowered and you can advocate for your family member. And so even if you are a younger person, maybe you're, you know, 40-something, but you know your parents are in their late 60s and that you're an only child, you're going to be supervising their care, go ahead and take a class now. Because then when you get in the midst of it, which is the worst time to take a class because you're all stressed out, right, and you can't remember anything anybody tells you, is that you have this background of information that you can then draw upon, or you can go back to the little handbook and kind of do a refresher. And I think that when we talk about caregiver stress, what I've seen as a nurse and as in my own individual life is that when you have information, you're less stressed. You know, when you have
that's for sure
knowledge, right? You don't feel this hopelessness and this helplessness. So, you know, my message, I guess, to everyone out there in your audience is that educate yourself, you know, because when you learn more, you know more, you're going to be more empowered to make educated choices for the care of your loved one.
Well,
so anyway, I was telling you.
How long did it take you to come up with this stuff?
Well, I mean, it was a process. Yeah, it was a process. You know, it was a process of enlightenment that we discovered, you know, as we were developing the curriculum for the caregivers, that, you know, hey, wait a minute, who's educating this family member? And I have to tell you that kudos to UAMS, because we actually had the Schmieding Center is one side of it is a clinical facility, and then the entire other side is our caregiver training program, and we have a care house there that simulates an older adult house, you know, or an apartment. And so we have it all set up as if, you know, it would be somebody's house. So as we take individuals through the program or family members through the program, they can see what it's really like to try to transfer somebody from the you know, shower chair to the toilet, and we take them through that process.
Right.
But anyway, my point being is that we have the academic institution, and then we have the clinical component. So it was a real natural fit for us. We would sit in meetings in our boardroom, which looked out on the lovely grounds, and we would see family members pull up the car, you know, to drop off their family member to go to the appointment. And,
15 minutes later, they're still doing it, right?
And it was, I mean, of course, we would stop the meeting and someone would go out and help them, of course, you know, if we saw they were struggling. But then it was, it dawned on us, we're doing all this for the paid caregivers. We need to be doing something for the family. So it just seemed like a natural thing.
Wow, that's a great, 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 great idea. Awesome. Yeah.
Are you, a question, are you working with people who were talking to the discharge department at the hospital?
Yes. So in our community and in the communities where we have these programs, we have a network. We connect with our network in our community. And so we have actually, because our program is so unique in that we train paid caregivers and family members, so a lot of times it's a win-win because family members are like, well, you know, I noticed that you also train paying caregivers. So just as a community service, we actually publish a directory of caregivers. Mm-hmm. So they don't work for us. We don't get any money for they're working for a family member. We just publish the directory as a community service. So if you were to come to us,
I just wanted to know, are you vetting those services or you're vetting them?
Well, what we do is we do a background check before they can enter the program. But what we also do on the other end is we educate the caregiver. So because the people don't work for us, we always talk to them about how to do a background check. And we're really impartial. We really try to be impartial because you know what? Hiring your own caregiver is sometimes not the right thing for you. Yeah. So we have a geriatric care manager who is in the building and she can talk to the client to see, you know, is it really realistic for you to try to hire your own caregiver on top of everything else you have to do? So we really try to guide them, you know, or help them make an educated choice, which is kind of what I said earlier, about what is the best way for them.
There are so many people now who choose to be home and be cared for at home, understandably, and that increases the need for caregivers who know what they're doing. I mean, even if it's long distance, they want to make sure that the person that's caring for their parent is doing the right thing.
Properly.
They need the right questions.
Right, absolutely. So our program for, I'm a talker, can you tell?
You're doing very well.
All right, well, let me finish talking about our family workshops. So our family workshops, there's actually two. One is physical skills, which is more hands-on, like I was telling you earlier. And then the workshop that we do for individuals caring for someone with dementia that focuses on, you know, some of the communication skills, some of the redirection skills, some of the reminders, redirection, you know, the behaviors sometimes in toileting and bathing that can be a challenge. So that family workshop focuses more on those types of things. But then in our paid classes, we actually have three classes. So just for like the beginning caregiver that maybe wants to work for the private home care agency, you may or may not know this, but in many states, you know, there's no regulation that says that private home caregivers need to have training.
Right.
So you might be hiring somebody that absolutely, you know, maybe has good intentions. Maybe they even cared for the grandmother before, but they've never had any formal training. So we recognize that early on that there needs to be just that introduction to caregiving, that beginner course. So our paid curriculum actually is in three tiers where people can get the kind of training that they need. So if they're not doing total care, they don't need to take that class. You know, if they're just doing standby assist or maybe minimal, you know, standby assistance. That beginner class would be great for them. And then if they want to come back and take another class later, they can.
Wow, that's pretty cool. We are talking to Adrian Gruberg and Sherry White. So don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech-impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg and Sherry White. I'm your host, Dave Nassani, and we're talking all about, family caregiver workshops and the amazing thing that Sherry is doing. That she's a registered nurse. Well, I'm here. I'm putting words in your mouth. Why don't you just continue your story since our break?
Oh, well, I was just sharing a little bit about what we're doing in Arkansas, you know, to train caregivers and empower them with education. And we do that through these caregiver workshops. So one of the reasons why I wanted to share it is that, you know, many times when we're caregiving, we get down, like you said earlier, we get a little overwhelmed, but really, sometimes what makes us feel best is to really reach out and help someone else. And that's right. And when we're in the support groups, when we're in support groups and we're with a group of people, and we reach out and we say, hey, I've done that, and here's what you need to do. Not only does it help the individual who's needing that information, but it really makes that individual who's caregiving, who may be struggling a little bit, leave that program and say, you know what, I was able to share something with this person, and now I feel better too, because now I'm feeling like I'm helping someone else. Hmm. And maybe I can get through this. Yep. Maybe I can overcome this, and I'm not maybe as bad off as this person who's just starting in this process. So our family workshops actually are designed as educational programs, but they're also somewhat of a support group, because, you know, when you bring all these caregivers together, you know, there's just this energy And they start sharing with each other, and they start telling stories, and then they realize, wow, I can help this other person. So I think that people who wanted to reach out and help someone else in their community could really do a family workshop. They could really start a workshop in their community if there's not such a thing, or they could go and visit their hospital and say, hey, you know what? We really need to start a family care advocacy program and have some educational programs like this in conjunction with our advocacy program. Because you know what? They do classes for new mothers. They do classes for people who are going to have children. But nobody really tells you how to take care of somebody or how to be somebody's caregiver. And it's so fast sometimes to transition from having a regular job to, oh, my goodness, now I got to quit my job and take care of my mom. And there's nobody out there to tell you how to do it. So anyway.
Well, I wanted to know whether or not in the program there's an emotional support aspect, other than the fact that everybody starts to share. Is there an emotional support aspect to it, to tell you how you're going to feel, and it's normal to feel that way, and don't feel guilty? And you did do okay.
Yes, I think
it's great.
Yes, there is. And actually, what we do as a part of the workshop is we also invite in like if there's an Alzheimer's support group and they want to come in, and so we invite them to come in and just introduce themselves, because when you leave the workshop, you know, it's one thing to sit through this workshop and hear how healthy it is for you to participate in a support group, but then you have to take that step to connect to a support group.
Find one.
Right. Yes, and find one. So by bringing that person into our workshop and introducing them, then that family member is not reaching out to a stranger, but they're reaching out to somebody that they've already met in their family workshop. So I don't know. We just think it's a great program, and we're teaching our programs around Arkansas, and I think other states can do the same thing. So
I agree.
You know, let me get your opinion on the difference between emotionally a family caregiver and a paid professional caregiver. A lot of people think that paid caregivers, you know, have it all figured out, and they go home and they sleep just fine, and they don't get emotionally attached, that they do their job, and then they come home, they turn their brain off. Is that true? Or do these people share more in common with family caregivers than we realize?
Yeah. They do share a lot. And I think, you know, what we say when we look for students to take our classes to become paid caregivers, we tell them, if you feel like you have a caregiver's heart, because that's where it starts. It starts with that desire to really make a difference. And then we can teach you the skills. So if you have a caregiver's heart, and that usually is somebody who feels compelled to help another. And that with that also comes a little bit of baggage, because in our classes, we have to talk to them about professional boundaries and not getting so attached, you know, and knowing when to kind of step back, because they do sometimes tend to get overly connected or overly emotional with the person they're caring for.
So is it, I'm sorry for interrupting, but is it easier to teach someone who maybe doesn't have a caring heart for people to have a caring heart? Is it easier to teach someone like that to become compassionate and empathetic? Or is it easier to unteach a caring, compassionate, empathetic person to not be too caring, compassionate, and empathetic? What, you know? tough question.
You know, we're all different. Yeah, we're all different. We're all different. As you have close engagement with people in classes, you tend to see them relax, and their, you know, and their personalities come forth. And so you can see the individuals who you might need to say, now, Lori, I can see where you may have a tendency of getting over attached, and so trying to help them recognize that in themselves, so that they can kind of be more thoughtful about being cautious about boundaries and things like that. But I don't know if one's easier than the other.
It is possible, though. Is it possible for someone who doesn't, you know, have those natural, wonderful qualities of a caregiver, but they need the money and they just look at caregiving as, you know, a nice industry to be in, and, you know, I got to make money doing something and I can learn how to take care of them. I mean, do those people ever become great caregivers, or are they just always doing it for the money and they wouldn't, quote unquote, take a bullet for their loved one? So, you know.
Yeah. No, I definitely think it can be taught. And I'll tell you that a lot of people that come through our class are not real confident, right? They're not real confident.
Yeah.
Once they learn the skills and they go, hey, you know what? I can do this. We see so many individuals bloom. And they realize that by the end of the class, hey, I can make a difference. What I'm going to do is going to make a difference. And they really start to feel good about not what they're doing, but they feel better about themselves because they are doing it. So, I think you can. Education is a wonderful thing, right? And so many people just aren't enlightened. And once you enlighten them, they change, they bloom, or they are more confident. So yeah, I think you can.
That gives me hope. I mean, there are, you hear about so many people, you hear about the bad caregivers, obviously, more than you hear about the good caregivers. But I always was confused, because it's like, okay, the people who aren't naturally inclined, you say, you know, they shouldn't be caregiving. And then I never thought that you can teach a person compassion, and you can teach them empathy. But you know what? When you're in that situation, when you suddenly become needy as a selfish person, you'd be surprised how much that can change a person. You know, your eyes are opened up, and now you treat people differently. Would you agree, Adrian?
Well, yeah, yes, I was going to ask you. I wanted to ask if I could put my two cents in. I think that some of it will depend on who they're caring for. Because if you have someone who just refuses to cooperate, no matter how nice the caregiver is, if that person has an attitude because, well, my daughter should be doing this and you're doing it, you know, then it becomes very difficult. They don't trust. They are insecure. They really make the job very difficult. So that sometimes someone who could be of great help is rendered to, it becomes their cook and does their shopping, where they could be doing so much more for them and really improving the quality of life if that person is receptive. So people sometimes just have to grow together, but every now and then there's just that person who refuses any help outside of the family.
Right. And those are difficult cases where I think probably, you know, you need a licensed counselor to help the family, or a mediator, or somebody to help the family through that. But as far as personalities, you know, what I see a lot, which makes a big difference, is doing the legwork on the front end and making sure that the person that you are selecting is going to be a good match for your family member. Because I like to tell the story, when I worked in home care, I used to go out to the homes and I would visit the residents and I would say, so, you know, I see you're using Susie. How do you like Susie? And they say, oh, Susie's just a blessing. She's a blessing. She comes to my house. She runs the vacuum. She puts up the dishes. I don't even have to ask her. She just comes into the house just as if she were my daughter, like this is her home. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. And I would fill out my evaluation, and I'd go three doors down, and I'd go to another house, and I'd say, so, I see you're using Susie. Tell me, how do you like Susie? Well, you know, Sherry, I'm really glad you came by today because Susie's just not working out for me. In my house, she puts up my dishes even when I don't even ask her to. And then, you know, she acts a little bit like this is her house, and I'm just not crazy about that.
Right.
So, same caregiver, two different employers, just not a good match there. So I think really what we teach both families and paid caregivers is that we all have different personalities and that not everyone's for everybody. So find right. someone that is going to be a good match for you personality-wise and go from there, you know, because that's so, so important. We I want to share just a little bit of information about Mr. Schmieding. You know, as he actually got older, and he's passed now, but as he got older, he had a caregiver from time to time. And Mr. Schmieding was in the produce business. He was a broker for produce. And so when we were trying to match him with a caregiver, somebody that, you know, he would like that would come in the home, he said one of the most important things for him was that they'd be able to talk about trucking, that they would be able to have a conversation about who was brokering produce and which farmers selling and who was buying tomatoes. That was being sold. He wanted someone that could actually have this engagement, yeah. this discussion. So that was great that they were going to help him get to the bathroom. And that was wonderful that they were going to help him with meals. But really what he wanted was that conversation, social piece. So I think so many times we underestimate how important that is.
Well,
I agree with that totally. Some people really need the companionship as much as they need anything else.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, this may be a crazy.
Not just about the skills.
This may be a crazy idea, and maybe I'm being, you know, overly idealistic, et cetera. But you know, just like no one is prepared to be a parent, absolutely no one is prepared to be a caregiver. It usually comes, you know, unexpected, and, you know, just like you need a license to drive a car, you should need a license to raise a kid and certainly need a license to become a caregiver. Shouldn't this be required education in high school? I guarantee you these teenagers will remember this class when 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, you know, they're thrust into the role as caregiver and they remember, kind of like their home ec class, they remember how to scramble eggs. They remember something from this class that will equip them to be a caregiver. I just think you should learn this stuff before you are officially a caregiver. Am I just crazy?
Let's make it part of your home ec course. caregiving yeah. thrown in, safe measure.
Yeah.
Most guys are not starving today because of a home ec class, you know?
Yeah.
Had a grilled cheese.
Well, I think what we're really seeing is, you know, we're seeing so much change in our healthcare community. I mean, if you remember, and I know you guys do, nurses have time to teach. Nurses were on the floor, and before you went home from the hospital, of course, your hospital was longer. Your hospital stay was longer, and you had nurses to come in and help educate you before you went home. And our system has changed now. So, you know, you may have outpatient surgery, or you may have a two-day stay and you're going home after a major surgery, and that just used to not be the case. Mm-hmm. So when we do that, we're realizing now that we're putting a lot on the shoulders of these family caregivers. And so I think there's more emphasis now on trying to reach out to the family caregiver. I know Arkansas passed the CARE Act legislation. I don't know if California did. Are you both in California?
Yeah. No, she's in New York.
I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
We're in the two most liberal states in the nation.
Okay. Well, I'm in Arkansas. I'm right smack in the middle. But anyway, the CARE Act, have you heard of it? Have you heard of the CARE Act?
Can you briefly explain it for those who haven't?
Okay. So it is It differs from state to state, but the basic philosophy or the basic idea behind the legislation is that before a hospital can send you home, that they have to identify who is going to be the family caregiver in that for that person, and then they actually have to make sure that they do some education with that family caregiver before they discharge.
That's a great law. I hadn't heard of that. Did you hear of it? That answers my question.
But it's about
You can. Now, like I said, the specifics of it kind of varies from state to state. And sort of, you know, the minutiae of it might be a little different, but the concept is the same overall. And AARP is supporting it.
You would expect California would already have a law like that, in New York as well, but I've really never heard of it. Have you, Adrian? Yeah.
No, because there are certain, it's only been adopted in certain states, and that I'll certainly look into it. To your knowledge, Sherry, do any of these states have any sort of compensation for family caregivers?
You know, I can't speak to that. I can't speak to that. I know some Medicaid programs allow for the family caregiver to be paid in certain circumstances, like the niece or the, you know, nephew or somebody who's going to be helping with care. Yeah. I think Medicaid. Yeah, but it's a state-by-state kind of thing. Right. But I think in some states it is allowed. And I think in other states, there's quite some controversy about paying a family member, you know, and then do you require that they have training or not? And so there's, you know, I guess some disagreement on that, on those fronts.
Well, it sounds like a great law, and I would certainly support one like that in California, because, like I said, some education is better than no education, you know. So you've been in this work a long, long time, over 20 years, right, as a registered nurse?
Yes.
So did you always have a compassion or a passion, I should say, to do this, or did it come along, you know, into your career?
I think I've always touched on caregiving. Yeah, I've kind of always been a caregiver. I think it's grown, you know, especially with my personal experience with my parents. You know, our healthcare system in many aspects is broken.
Are you hopeful, you know, that the new administration will somehow make it better?
Oh, wow. You know, I'm always hopeful. I'm always hopeful that there's going to be positive change, right? And I think that we all just need to do more to educate each other, and so we can be informed consumers, right? So that we can speak up. And I'm always thinking positive and hoping for positive change, absolutely.
Well, we absolutely know that there will be change, because it can't go on the way it is, obviously. Yeah. And something's going to change about it. And it seems like a good time to try to keep the good things of Obamacare. You know, the couple of good things I can think of is the pre-existing conditions. What's the other thing? Right on the tip of my tongue.
The children will be insured with under their parents.
Yes, with the parents. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. The age of 26.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone likes to talk about policy and Medicaid and what it covers, and I appreciate that. But really, the majority of people who are caregivers are going to be paying for that out of pocket. I mean,
absolutely.
There's just such a small percentage of people who actually qualify for Medicaid, and the numbers of aging people in America, I mean, most of us are going to be paying out of pocket. And so, you know, it's nice to talk about, and it's important, but really the most of us, and that's the middle class people, are actually going to be supporting and caring for our own parents.
And obviously there's a shortage of caregivers as well. And so we're going to have to start making decisions. You know, maybe this person doesn't have the emotional attributes of a caregiver, but maybe we can teach them because we need them, because there aren't enough of them.
Right. I had a question. Sherry, is your program exclusively for elder care, or do you have the
special needs kids?
Any not just special needs kids, but I mean, I was 60 and taking care of Steve, and I didn't think of him as elderly. You know,
yeah,
he was right. Could have happened in my 40s or 50s. And
absolutely.
Do you address that?
Well, you know, the program, our program, the feeding program, was designed specifically to help care for older adults in the home. But what we've learned is that really it isn't limited to that. So
no.
We've had younger people come to our class because they, too, are caring for somebody, even a veteran, and they need to
absolutely
learn about, you know, transfers and how do I get them in and out of the car and you know, how do I reach out to support, to connect with other caregivers?
Right.
So although the program, the roots of our program were founded in caring for older adults, we have people now that come to our program to get education that don't really fit into that category, which I think is mm-hmm. a great thing.
Yeah, I do too.
So we're more, I think we're more general caregiver education really now in the communities that we serve, although our expertise is in geriatrics.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Good.
Well, you're doing an awesome job. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but talk briefly, and then we'll talk about it more after the break. If somebody wants to get involved with this, they're not local to Arkansas, and maybe they have a relationship with the pastor of a church, or maybe a pastor of a church is, or an administrator of a hospital, you know, how can we take what you do and move it into our community? Is that
right? Yeah.
Let's talk about it after the break. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Okay.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take The Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
Okay, and we're back with Sherry White and Adrian Gruberg. This is like our 220th show, I think. This will all help. We have about 17,000 following us on Facebook now.
Great.
So, you know, I bet you remember when you had 17,000 followers.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
We just started a buddy program.
What does
really
that mean?
Taken
and how
off.
Does that work?
People got on the list with Corey. We created a pool of people, and then Corey matched people up. And I have two buddies. She wanted me to be a part of the program, so I am. People decide how they want to work, with if they want to email or be on the telephone, how frequently they want to do it.
They
and
read
they
in,
share.
In meal time, real time they meet?
Real time. Well,
real life or whatever.
If they have that option.
That's cool.
But the first person that I was put in touch with is a woman in the Philippines. So.
Cool.
So is that caregiver support that you're doing?
Yes, okay. I have a website that's all, we're about emotional support for caregivers. and a lot of articles and information. It's a great site.
Awesome.
TheCaregiverSpace.org.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Please do.
I learn something new every day, I'll tell you. New resources, new apps. Have you seen all the new apps for caregivers and medication management? And I'll just
medication management, for sure.
And tell us now, Sherry, what we started talking about is how can we bring this wonderful program into our community? There's a way, right?
Yeah. So UAMS is, of course, an educational institution. So what we do is like a train the trainer. So the curriculum actually is for sale. The family workbooks are for sale. But we don't sell them. I don't sell them ourselves. So there's a company called Elder Stay at Home, and their website is www.elderstayathome, so the little sign at home.com, and or you can call them, and then you just tell them how many workbooks you need, and you can purchase the curriculum. And then it's kind of on a customer-to-customer basis. So if you wanted someone to come and do a train-the-trainer on how to start a program, we can do. We've done face-to-face training. We're working with Hawaii. And we've also done live video streams where we talk people through the curriculum and how to set up a program. But we have, you know, we can help with everything from, you know, what kind of equipment do I need to order, to, you know, how many days or how should I schedule the program, just whatever you need. So.
Give that website again. Is it elderdayhome.com? Or?
Elderstay.
Elderstay.
Yeah, because remember the emphasis of the program when we first started was for older adults to be able to stay in their home.
Yes.
So the program is elderstayathome.com.
So elder, E-L-D-E-R, stay, S-T-A-Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At sign.
At home.
Oh, elder, stay, at home.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get it.
That's okay. And then there's an 800 number, too. Do you want that? I think it's on the website.
Yeah.
So, okay. The 800 number is... well, I don't know if it's 800. I guess it is. 855-442-5100.
Okay.
And I'm not on the sales side, but we have a great team. And again, the portion of the proceeds goes back to the Schmieding Center to support the caregiver program in Northwest Arkansas. So we're trying to roll it out and help others.
Now, for those of you out there who are as dumb as me, it's Elder Stay at AT, not the at. That's why I guess I wasn't listening. At home.
It actually is the at symbol. Right. Yeah, it's the at symbol.
Really? That's because when I put in the at symbol, it didn't go. But when I typed in AT, so it is the AT, it's not the at symbol, because at symbols are just for email. I think that's an illegal symbol.
Oh, I'm looking here. Elder Stay at Home. Oh, you're right. I wrote it down.
Oh, I hate it when I'm right. So Elder Stay AT Home.
At home.com.
I said AT.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Elder Stay AT, which is kind of at home.com. Because the at signs are only if we're emailing someone. Okay.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And what a beautiful website it is. Purple, my favorite color. So everybody go there. Yeah.
Well, and then if you want to see information about our program, which is I'm on the education side. I'm not on the sales side. That's sort of the sales side. But the University of Arkansas website is a great
You'd make a great salesperson anyway because you hate it. The people who sell well are the people who are trying not to sell.
Oh, okay.
Everybody hates pushy salespeople.
So
and they do it so well, it's disgusting.
So what's the University of Arkansas website? Just University of Arkansas?
Well, no, actually, it's UAMScaregiving.org.
UAMS as in Sam?
Uh-huh. Caregiving.org.
Thank you.
And yeah, those are our training centers. You can see we have 7 of them around the state. So.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
That works.
That works.
You have a special holiday thing that's going on right now?
Ooh. I'll tell you what we just did. If you want to know what we just did, did you do anything special for National Family Caregivers Month?
Adrian did. What did you do, Adrian?
I don't know. I don't think we
you
did
went to
do
the
anything
conference,
special.
Though.
But the conference was in December. Next year it will be in November. This was the first.
Okay.
Next year will be in November.
We just
you
told
go.
People
you
that it.
Yeah, do you guys mm-hmm. know John Shaw with Caregiver Action Network?
I know Caregiver Action Network, yes.
Yes, I think he was there.
Yeah, we had him as a guest speaker at the university, and he came in and talked about the importance of family caregivers from the healthcare aspect of it. So he talked to doctors mm-hmm. and nurses and our team at UAMS and our Reynolds Institute on Aging mm-hmm. about inclusiveness and including the family members, right? And mm-hmm. On the care team. So that was really a great program. And then we had Joel Hopper from Kimberly-Clark Corporation. He actually came in because Kimberly-Clark Corporation has got what's called a family care network. And so within their company, they have support for employees who are caregivers. So we highlighted those two things. On November 9th, we had a big program at the university in Little Rock. So
awesome.
Yeah.
So
I think what we decided actually was that for the caregiver space, every day is National Caregiver
Day.
So.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
We do I have something that. New, though, that I could talk about for a second, if I may. We started on Facebook. We just started a group instead of just a page. We've now got the page going, and we have a private group where not everyone where your confidentiality is assured. So there are lots of people signing up for that.
Oh, cool. Let me know how that goes. I've been told that I need to do that for months now, and I just haven't done it. But now
we've
you've done
got,
it.
We've got both going, yeah.
And show me how.
Okay.
Cool. So, Sherry, you're happy with the success of this program?
Oh, I am. Yes, we feel like we've had a positive impact here in Arkansas, and we're hopeful to extend that out to other people in other states. So
I think you will.
Looking forward to that. Yeah.
Good. And are you the person in charge of that?
I'm actually the project director, but I have a boss who's actually the PI of the grant. So it's grant funded. So I'm the operations person, and she's kind of over all the budgets.
Well, it's nice to be paid for something that you can be so passionate about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very blessed.
Yeah, what a privilege, right?
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, you have an email or a business line, or how can someone get a hold of you?
Yes, they can email me at S as in Sam, L as in Linda, White, like the color, mm-hmm. at UAMS.edu.
Right.
And or they can just go to the website www.uamscaregiving.org mm-hmm. and reach out through the contact us link on there, and I'll get those emails as well.
Okay,
great.
Well, thank you again for coming on the show, Adrian. How can someone get a hold of you?
Well, Adrian, Adrienne, at thecaregiverspace.org, through the website, thecaregiverspace.org.
And what's your dream and your mission and your passion for the caregiver space? What do you hope to accomplish with it if you haven't already accomplished it?
Oh, I haven't. There's too much to talk about. But the buddy program is a good start. And it's sort of in a test mode. I'm really getting more and more about awareness for people, mm-hmm. because I believe that there's just one degree of separation between everybody and another and a caregiver. Yeah. I think everybody either is one or knows one.
And your buddy program is hooking up with somebody in real life, you know, at a real place or on a telephone or something like that.
Yeah, well, we certainly want to have more interactive video stuff.
Great. And what's your goal? How you have a number that you're trying to achieve with the buddies?
With the buddies?
I mean, after your test thing determines that
it's successful. I don't know what the next phase is, because we will probably have to have I'll probably have to hire another person when it goes to a bigger mm-hmm. thing, because Corey won't be able to manage all of it. She's amazing, but mm-hmm. I can't put that on her too. I might be able to get some interns from universities to do it and mm-hmm. to start doing a study with it as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I think that yes, absolutely. And I think people underestimate and sometimes don't think to reach out to their local university. I really think that there's a role and a place for academia in caregiver education and caregiver support, especially at the universities where they have large geriatric programs. Mm. I really think that they can step up.
Well, that's very good for me to know. Thank you.
And what contact person typically in what position do we contact for that?
Well, I mean, you know, each university is different, so I'm not sure. But at our institute, it's an institute on aging. Mm-hmm. So if your university has an institute on aging or a center on aging.
You just talk to the person at the top of that.
That's a place to start, you know, is where they, you're right, or even a nursing program, if they have a nursing program, because, you know, many nursing students actually can, I know we use some nursing students to teach some of our family workshops, mm-hmm. and so it's good experience for them. Of course, they're not doing it by themselves, there's someone there, but mm-hmm. it is a good experience for them, so... many of the nursing programs have require the nurses to do so many volunteer hours. So that may be something where you could get a knowledgeable or have like a partnership where they provide the education for the community.
Is there a pre-med program at University of Arkansas?
We have a medical program.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, there's University of Arkansas and then there's University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences.
Okay.
And that's what I'm part of is the medical sciences branch.
That's the MS. Okay.
Well, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone. Thank you both so much for coming on the show. We really, really appreciate it and for sharing your contact information. And just as a reminder, all our shows become recorded pod and video casts on our website, including this one, caregiverscaregiver.com. And our video casts are on YouTube. And when you're on our site, please don't forget to take that short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout, to assess where you are in the burnout process and to get your free copy of my first book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, a $10 value, absolutely free. Why? Because we want to help you survive this thing called caregiver burnout. So until next Tuesday at noon Pacific time, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific time and anytime afterwards on podcast to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.